only on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Mark Levin, weekdays 3 to 6 p.m.
We're back. The John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. The Alliance for a Just Society says that the income gap in America and in Washington State is getting worse, and that the kind of jobs that are available for people are often low-paid and substandard. Here to tell us a little bit more and to make the case for a higher minimum wage is Jill Reese. She's from Seattle. Jill, thanks very much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, what does your report say that would surprise anyone?
Well, I'm not sure that it's surprising news, actually. What our report says, and you know, this is the 15th year of this study, so we calculated living wage for a number of family sizes, and you know, we consider a living wage basically what people need to make ends meet. So that's housing, food, transportation, child care, you know, a little bit of money for savings. And, you know, what our report shows is that when you calculate those numbers, it's significantly higher than a minimum wage. And for folks who are trying to survive on the minimum wage, I don't think that's surprising. And what our report also shows is that there is a gap between, you know, the number of people who are looking for those jobs that pay a living wage and the number of those of jobs that are actually paying that wage. So in Washington State, for every one job opening that pays a living wage for a single individual, there are 8 job seekers. So the gap is growing, in fact.
Okay, and how do we compare with the national statistics?
It's slightly challenging to do that comparison because it's almost like apples and oranges, but I can give you a snapshot.
Wait a minute. Why would a state be an apple and an orange with the national average?
Because if you, in terms of calculating a living wage, it becomes very...
Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah. Housing is much more here than it is
in Kansas.
In Kansas,
yeah.
Or Idaho.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So, but when we looked at the national job gap, and we actually used that $15 an hour threshold that many people are now calling for, we found that 7 job seekers are competing for every 1 job that pays $15 an hour or more. And we also found that when you look between 2009 and 2012, we lost, let me get this number right, it's 40 million jobs that pay more than $15 an hour.
We've lost how many jobs?
So we lost 3.6 million. Let me get this right. 4 million dollars jobs, 4 million jobs that pay over $15 an hour were lost
in that three-year period.
Between 2009 and 2012.
Between 2009 and 2012, America has lost more than 4 million jobs paying above $15 an hour?
That's correct. And then when you look at the jobs that have been replacing those jobs, 3.6 million pay less. So you can see almost a direct, you know,
so
if we lose those 4 million jobs.
Again, that's between 2009 and 2012.
That's right, after the official end of the recession.
So
that's correct.
So the Obama administration, according to your numbers here, has just done an abysmal job of growing incomes or the economy.
I would say you could argue that, though. I actually think it's more compelling to look at the employers who because they're making record profits and they're profiting off of people who, you know, are in a soft economy and who have to take, you know, the jobs that are out there. So there's, I think, a real incentive for companies to pay these lower wages, and certainly much more could be done to have regulations that don't allow that to be the case. We could have much higher wage floors, but you know, really,
the fastest way to grow an income is to grow the economy so that there is rising demand for people's skills. And if you are in the workforce, you just did a really good job of pointing out that there are you know, more than half a dozen job seekers for every job that's available, that mm-hmm. when you have more jobs out there and fewer people seeking them, they'll have to raise the wages.
And it's the number, just to be clear, the number is not job seekers to every opening. It's job seekers to every opening that pays a living wage. So if you were to look at total jobs in the economy, there are plenty out there. We just set this threshold. So
okay, what percentage of minimum wage jobs are what percentage of minimum wage jobs are jobs held by, say, teenagers or adults who are just picking up some supplemental income,
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
are second jobs?
So when you look at who works those minimum wage jobs, 88% are over the age of 20. Almost a third have kids.
Right, fine. But that's what I'm asking. Are these the only job they have, or are these supplemental jobs? Are these additional jobs?
Well, I think many people, you know, if you are trying to make ends meet on a minimum wage, it's impossible to do that with just one job. So I think many of these folks are working multiple jobs, but it's not because, they have a good paying job and they want just a little bit of extra spending money. I mean, these are folks who are trying to support families on jobs that are, you know, just are not enough to make ends meet.
Or they're jobs people are holding because they're saving up for, say, college, which is more expensive for young people, far more expensive now than it was when I was going to college.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some of that is, you know, it's in some ways hard for us to get at the motivations necessarily.
Okay.
But when you look at the numbers,
so what's the cure? What's the cure?
I think, Well, I mean, I do actually think that that the economy stands to benefit from an increase in the minimum wage. If you bump up that wage floor, you put more money in the pockets of people who really need it and will spend it.
What should it be?
Well, I mean, I think this, as we saw in CTEC, people think that it's reasonable that it should be $15 an hour.
So you know how close that was, right?
I do know how close that was. I do.
Okay. Yeah. So if raising the minimum wage is good for the economy,
mm-hmm.
why not raise it from $9.19 to $25 an hour?
Well, I mean, sure. I just think that here's the reality. So since 2009, the minimum wage hasn't been touched. So for the past 4 years, people who are working minimum wage have actually taken a pay cut every year because of inflation.
Well, doesn't it go up every year? Yeah, isn't it indexed to inflation here in Washington? Doesn't it go up a little bit every year?
In Washington state, it actually does. Yeah. And Washington is, you know, I think, when you look across the board, Washington State has the highest minimum wage, and that certainly is a very good thing. But it just, even when you look at the minimum wage in Washington State, it's just a little bit over half of what we calculate as the living wage for a single individual, to say nothing less of people who are trying to.
So is there a downside to raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour?
I suppose, you know, the downside is the big businesses who may see a small, you know, a small dent in profits or something. I don't think there's a downside.
You don't think there's not even a downside to raising the minimum wage? Have you talked to any small business people?
Yeah, actually, we at my organization has a project called the Main Street Alliance, and we have small business owners across the country who are, who are a part of our organization. And, you know, I think that what small businesses will tell you is that they would love to pay that amount of money. And right now it might be hard, but it's because bigger businesses are.
I tell you what.
Of course they would.
Okay, I tell you what. We've got a few minutes left on the show, and we've got mm-hmm. a lot of people who listen to the show who are small business people.
Uh-huh.
People who run small business, let's have them join the conversation see what they have to say. I'm talking to Jill Reese. She's the associate director for the Alliance for a Just Society, and she's making the case for raising the minimum wage. She says most small business people would love to pay a higher minimum wage. She thinks it would be good for small and large businesses and, more importantly, people alike if they did. And so if you own a small business, and we didn't say, you know, we didn't announce any of this ahead of time, so I'm just asking any of you out there who work for a small business, who own a small business, call and tell me and tell Jill what you would think about raising the minimum wage to $15 where you live and work. Is that a good idea? 206-421-5757. That's 421-5757. Outside King County, got 1-888-312-5757. We'll just take these calls in the order they come and see, you know, let the chips fall where they may, Jill, okay?
Okay.
Hold
okay.
on.
And just, well, okay.
Hold on.
Let me just, okay.
You want to make an, I'll let you make that point as soon as we're back from the break here, okay? All right,
sure.
We got the phone lines filling up here on the John Carlson Show.
All these shows on one radio station. It hardly seems fair. Oh, well. John Carlson, Laura Ingraham, Glenn Beck, Mark Levin, Lars Larson, and Michael Savage. Talk Radio 570 KVI. KVI. Freedom spoken here. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Back we are. Jill Reese is from the Alliance for a Just Society. She joins us with the surprising news that under the Obama administration from 2009 to 2012, we've lost 4 million jobs paying above $15 an hour. She thinks the minimum wage should be raised to that level. She wanted to complete her thought here before we take calls from small business people about that proposal. What do you think, Jill?
Well, I just wanted to be clear that what I was saying is that I think small business owners would love to be able to pay $15 an hour. What our report shows is that the economy is not that strong, and we realize that that has impacts on small businesses that aren't necessarily felt by big businesses. So I just want to be clear that, you know, I think small business owners have employees that they care a lot about and would like to pay them a good salary.
Well, so, since the vast majority of minimum wage jobs are paid by small business people, do you want them exempt from the $15 an hour minimum wage?
Yeah, and that's not actually true. A large percentage of minimum wage jobs actually are in the fast food industry
but those fast food jobs, those, like, say the McDonald's or the Arby's mm-hmm. or the Subway, mm-hmm. those are franchises, mm-hmm. Jill. Those mm-hmm. are not owned mm-hmm. by some mm-hmm. national behemoth. Those mm-hmm. are small business people who, instead of opening a sandwich shop, they buy a franchise, they pay a fee, mm-hmm. and run a McDonald's or a Taco Bell or what have you. But believe me, they're small business people. I know some of them.
Mm-hmm. Right. But they're a part of a larger corporation that, you know, just those businesses are not hurting for money.
Okay.
And so if it,
well, hold on, let me make sure you understand this. They are not employees of McDonald's. They pay for the privilege of, mm-hmm. of having, you know, their logo and their menu and their items, et cetera, but they're on their own. I mean, mm-hmm. they got to make payroll, and mm-hmm. and they got, if there's a clogged drain, they don't send the bill to McDonald's. They pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand all of that, and
you sure?
I think if we're really interested. Yeah, and I think if we're interested in really growing an economy, we have to make sure that people have enough money to actually be spending in the economy.
Okay,
so
let's go ahead and get to those calls we talked about. Every line lit here. Got to get through them quickly while we still have time. I'm on with Jill Reese from Alliance for a Just Society. We'll start with Paul in Tacoma. What do you say, Paul?
Hi, John. I have really quick 2 points to make. One, first of all, the minimum wage was never designed to be a living wage to support a family. It's a stepping stone. Your first job experience, like for people coming out of school or college, never. The second point I'd like to make is the fact that in the shape it's in, no small business owners are going to want to pay $15. Yeah, we'd love to pay $15 an hour. I dropped my three employees. I have no employees now because of Obamacare. Now you want to try and make people pay more. What you're doing is punishing employers,
okay,
and
Jill,
rewarding irresponsibility.
Jill, what do you say to Paul?
Well, I mean, I think that he's right that the minimum wage was not initially intended to be the wage that, you know, supports a family. But unfortunately, we see an economy that's shifting towards that, you know, this low wage work. So, you know, so I mean, that is just the reality of the situation.
Okay, let's go to Scott now from Bellevue. Scott, uh-huh. You're on with John Carlson and Jill Reese from Alliance for a Just Society. Go for it.
Hey, great. Thanks for taking my call. I met you over at the Bellevue Planning Commission a couple years ago. And my concern about this $15 an hour, this demonstration from SeaTac to Seattle, here's how I feel about it. Talked to my daughter-in-law over the weekend, and she went back to school for 3 to 4 years, has a $10,000 school loan, and she's only making $16 an hour. It takes a cent of all away from anybody trying to better themselves in this economy. Another thing is, if it does pass in SeaTac with a recount, we pay tips at for restaurants, baggage handlers at the airport, coffee shops, barber shop, dog groomers, shoe shiners, the shuttle service. We all pay tips to those people. If that does pass in Seattle and the SeaTac, I think we ought to eliminate tipping anybody anymore. Because I know, John, in your job there on the radio, you don't get any tips.
Yeah, Phil refuses, and Brittany won't even think about it. But anyway, Jill, what do you say to Scott there?
Well, I mean, I think he points out an interesting fact that I didn't mention, that, you know, folks are going to school, they're going to college, they're accumulating debt because they want higher paid jobs. Our living wage job calculation doesn't even include paying back, you know, student loans. So it's actually quite a conservative figure.
Let's go to Quentin from Kent. Quentin, you're on with Jill Reese from Alliance for a Just Society. Real quickly, go ahead. Quentin, are you there?
Do you believe... I'm here.
Real quickly, go.
Yes. Jill, do you believe businesses are private enterprises, or are they charitable organizations?
Jill, he asked you if you think businesses are private enterprises or charitable organizations.
Mm-hmm. I think that the folks who work in those low-wage jobs work really hard, and it's not. I don't consider it a charity that people get paid you know, an amount of money that they can actually live on. That's a part of the American dream, right? You work full time, you make a living, you support a family, and we just need to have wage floors that enable people to do that.
But businesses don't exist to support families; they exist to make a profit. That's just reality.
In other words, you're saying they need to make a profit before they can raise their wages. Jill, I'll give you the last word. 20 seconds. Go for it.
Look, I mean, there are millions of people who are working very hard in these low-wage jobs, having to work multiple jobs. And I actually think that, you know, companies who are making a large profit off of the hard work of these millions of people need to actually pay them enough money so that they are not working poverty wages.
Jill, we'd love to have you on again. Thank you again for joining us here on KVI this morning.
Thank you.
Jill Reese from Alliance for Just Society. Let's talk again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Adios. Are you serious?
I am serious. Adios.